That's it, Luca. Now you got it. That's it. Let the song play a little bit before you talk. Now we can play till the end. There you go. This is Learn to Unlearn. Hello, everybody. This is Luca Maino. We are back, and here's the end of the clip. Just a second. Yes. Me and my orchestra salute you. We are here. And we wouldn't be... Oh, you know what? No, actually, the orchestra's here, and I'm here, but we wouldn't be anything without the orchestra conductor. And who would that be? That would be Steve, our best producer in the whole wide world, slash conductor. Do you have your stick ready?
I guess so.
Okay.
And he says, great, sounds great. Got you loud and clear.
It always does, until something happens. Now we're going to get really good, and then you're going to have like interference. You're going to have noise. Oh, Luca didn't start his timer. Starting now. Okay. Hello, everybody. This is no. I'm just kidding. So we are back for another good week, and this has been a really good week for me because it's been like overflow of information that I wanted to share with everybody, and we only have an hour. So like Buscalia says, let's get going. You know, hello to Annie. Hello to Boston Mark. To Sarah, to Melissa, to everybody in the chat, and everybody, the faithful listeners that are back all the time that I don't even know who they are because they're not in chat, but they're listening anyway. So we say hello to the people that are everywhere listening on this particular frequency at this time. In the first minute, I want to tell everybody how I've never been like this in my entire life. I'm full of hope, but yet I'm full of complete despair, literally, some days. And it's bouncy, bouncy, bouncy all the time, like Tigger, back and forth. Good day, bad day. Good day, bad day. Hello, Moon. Yes, Moon is with us in the chat as well. So I'm going to be reflecting a lot about, you know, my feelings and my moods and stuff like that. Because you're teaching me, because I have this radio show on this network, the network is literally teaching me how to become a better radio show host. And it's yours. I'm doing this for you. And I also want to start specifically with a question for everybody, because this is your network. Okay. I'm a messenger, and sometimes there could be problems. Andy and I talk a lot, but there could be problems because, you know, you might not agree with what I say. You know, we see that with TRUNP showing up every now and then on different radio shows. But my point being that I didn't want to annoy anyone by keeping on talking about World War II and what I'm learning about Hitler. But it's become a really important plug for me, a really important source in my life. And I keep on finding different, you know, it's in the Bible, right? You search, you will find. Knock on the door and they will open, okay? Well, you do things in the right intent. This is what's happening for me. So I get little snippets all the time, and I love sharing them with you. So I just want to make sure I'm not overwhelming anybody, and that, because I know you're much more awake than the average radio station listeners. So I also don't want to have everybody go, oh my God, there he goes again. You know, like TRUMP, you know, so we'll just take it as we go. I just want to let you know, it's not my show. It's not me saying this, and I don't care about what anybody says, and I don't care about who's listening. It's actually the opposite. And I want this to be a really good relationship to grow and to, you know, find out what you guys are doing and how your lives are. And, see, you're already answering me. That's great. That's all I need to know, because we're all going to have different opinions. Okay. And Thomas Paine says it so well. He says that, you know, this is my opinion on religion, and I ask you to be very careful with it and to remind people that if we judge others, we basically preclude our own existence, our own growth. We stop our own growth. because we don't allow ourselves to learn anything new, because that's where we stop. So he's saying that every time we judge, my grandmother would say that every time you point the finger, there are three pointed back at you. You've heard that one before. But it's a way to get along and to have completely different opinions, maybe roll the eyes every now and then, but still be friends, still love one another, still have respect for one another. That's what I'm looking for. So, and that's what I'm finding with the station. I love it. Yes, heartfelt. Exactly, heartfelt, because this is what it is. It's, you just happen to hit a good radio show host. What can I tell you? And sometimes I talk too much from the heart, and, you know, I got in trouble for it before. But anyway, what do we have on the menu today? Well, I wanted to start with the music segment. You know why? Because I have a surprise for you guys. Something about difference of opinion really quickly. Okay. One person says to another, one really good friend says to another really good friend, check this out. You know, we have loads of disagreements. Sometimes I don't agree with what you say at all. I vehemently disagree with you half the time, but I respect your opinion so much and your belief, your right to believe what you want to believe so much that I would give my life for it. That's pretty powerful. I'd give my life to protect what you have to say, even though I don't agree with it. That's the way we should be. But of course, that's too high up there with the acumen, right? So couldn't dream of having something like that. But it's always going to be straight. It's always going to be in your face. And that's how I am. And first of all, what I'm doing is my disclaimer. Remember, it resonates with me. Okay. It's the closest to the truth that I can find. And it will be useful to everybody and necessary also, because if nobody understands what happened in World War II, they don't have a clue of figuring out what's going on now. I got something to share about what's going on in Israel, what they've been doing. I'm sorry, not Israel. Oh, that's Ukraine. Well, you know, Palestine, Israel, too. But in this case, it's Ukraine, what the CIA has been doing in the Ukraine for 10 years. We're going to talk about stuff like that. We're going to talk about the nurses. The nurses, yes. In particular, the good nurses. But before we dive, I said to myself, why don't we have a little fun, okay? Luca, why don't you show them? We're getting the music stuff together, okay? So I say me, myself, and I, we make a good trio, right? Because I don't see anybody recently, so I talk to myself a lot. I have the keyboard set up, the drum machine set up, and the bass set up as well. And the other day, I just finally hooked up something to be able to record the stuff. And I'm going to really make some heads turn, hopefully, today. But this is a jingle, okay? And what I always do is I write, they're like cliches. They're like little loops, you know? It's one hook, okay? And it keeps repeating. Something like this. I just got the drum machine going, and then I went, oh, okay, check this out. That's all I wanted to do, to show that. And thank you for telling me to bring it up or not, because we got volume problems. Either that or I have a very good headset that I'm not used to. There's something different about my setup. But anyway, that's what the feel is. Like you just make a hook and you keep repeating it and you talk over it. In this case, it could be like something, you know, we have a sale down on aisle 4, you know, for a certain amount of time only. See, that's what I mean. I would be selling these little jingles here and there. And that was one of them. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to play setup noise. That's what this is called. The 90s instruments that you try and set up, okay? And the musicians that are listening are going to laugh. This is what it sounded like when I hooked up at first. I had to record this and I had to keep this. Have a listen to this. You get the buzz. There's the drum machine. Oh, bad cable. Try again. There you go. Sounding okay. Hi-hat. Shaker. Okay. You know, you go around and you check everything. And then I said to myself, remember that song that we, you know, you gave Annie like last week? Remember that song? And I was talking about that shakers. It's driving me bonkers because there's no shakers in that song, or there's no 2 and 4 on it. If you remember this song that I played last week. Okay, there's something missing, like the percussion missing, and it was driving me nuts. Listen to it a little bit more. Okay, so we'll stop it at the first chorus, okay? I'm going, what is missing? So you know what I did? I did another recording, and this is the first recording that I've ever done since my operation for you people. This is the first time I'm playing it live for you people, okay? I was able to stand up for long enough to do this on the drum machine manually, and this is what it sounded like. How you do it. So it was like, it was, you know, I was able to play for 6 minutes standing up like that. So that's pretty much of an achievement for me. I just want to let it play a little bit so you can hear it. And the percussion you hear is what I'm playing. Imagine a stand-up percussion with drums and cymbals and mallets. This is what it sounded like. I had a lot of fun. Kiss formula in action, okay? And what I'll do is I'll give Annie that song, and she can play that one instead of the other one, and nobody will know, but everybody listening, oh, there's Luca playing the shakers. And I ended up doing the drums at the end, or maybe I'll record it again and make a better one. I'll think about it. I'll have to think. What do you think, Steve? Does that sound better to you, or it's just different, eh? I guess.
Sound?
Yeah.
Sound how?
I love it.
Not sure what you mean by sound.
Well, the percussion that I added, I just...
Oh, okay.
I love it. And you're making love to the music. You know, like, I was playing drums, okay? And I video myself sometimes, or you see what I look like. I look like I'm on acid, okay? That's what I look like. You know, sitting there smiling, breathing, too. The microphone stays on sometimes, and you're... You're doing really, Luca, shut your mic off, you know, because you're breathing differently, and especially playing drums. I mean, we had really good times like that. They actually recorded me playing in the studio with my mic on because I forgot to shut it off, and they played it back. This is what you sound like when you're breathing, Luca. Okay. So there's the music segment because I couldn't wait, and it's special, and it makes us feel good. And now we can go into the more delving in the problems of humanity, if you like. Well, let's start with the good nurses. Yeah, let's start with the good nurses, okay? I have a problem. I really do. Since COVID started, okay, because of the person that I am, and I've talked about this before, I'm sure. Forgive me if people remember me talking about it before. There's always the good nurse. And I'm talking the nurses that just wanted to do their work. They didn't partake in anything. They didn't do the dances or anything like, okay? They just wanted to be left alone. They didn't want the jab. They didn't take the jab. They just loved their job. And they got fired. And they got their career ruined. And I know there's a lot of them, okay? Because, Steve, I'll show you the picture that I have here. I'm showing it on the screen right now for Steve to see. It's a nurse in nurse's outfit sitting down in the hallway in the hospital with her head in her arms, with her legs up.
Well, Luca, I think I seen about a month or so ago that there was a law firm advertising on TV and the internet, Facebook and all that, if you were impacted by COVID in some way, whether your business got shut down or you were fired or whatever, you can seek compensation.
Yeah. The people that killed us off are now getting rid of the money by paying us off, the ones that didn't die. Yeah, it's horrifying. And it's really interesting to see how different people put on a different spin about the same problem. It's amazing. Abby Martin says, for my entire life, I've watched the corporate media sell us war after war after war, always telling us who the enemies are, which countries need saving, and which governments should be overthrown. And every single time it turns out they lied. Okay, this is my point. With the nurses, okay, with the good nurses, with the good people, that's all. That's my only point. I'm not talking about the ones that banged. Oh, my God. What was that about banging in the UK? Just a second. I think I wrote that down somewhere. Yes. A friend of mine that I work with says that's why it's so hard to empathize. In the UK, every Thursday, people would bang pots outside of their windows in support of those brave nurses on the front line battling COVID. And those who didn't partake in the pot banging, they were ostracized. I found that really interesting. So if you want a good exercise in empathy, there you go. See, and it's typical behavior to say, you know, like, blame all the nurses. No, I won't blame all the nurses. I'm not going to say all the nurses. I saw a couple of nurses that were just devastated by what was going on. And I've known one or two of them that would just tell me in defense, Luca, we can't talk about it. Luca, we're not allowed to talk about it. Luca, we can't talk about the vaccine unless it's going towards or leaning towards you taking it. Mm-hmm. Well, just like Steve said, a friend of mine, Jim, on TLB Talk, he said they need full substantial compensation and prior reinstatement, a proper reinstatement. The stress and psychological damage have been severe. We have no idea. People like me, I don't know what would have happened to me. I'm really like super sensitive. I'm just that way. That's the way I am. Okay. He says for me, and this is Jim saying this, for me, the most stressful time initially was being unable to persuade barely a soul, especially close family and friends, as to what the toxic mRNA bioweapons were really designed for. And this is sliding me into my next segment, because this is really hard for me. Moon talked about heartfelt. Everybody got their seatbelt on? It's not only it's not only to educate that I want to do. I need to share what I'm going through personally. And if I do that, it's going to be a whole different show. It's going to be a completely different, you know, radio show. Like most radio shows go on with a perspective, with an, you know, with a what do you call it? A motive, with a motivation. They just want to say what they say and that's it. And the show's over. I would like to bring you guys close to me and talk about what you would like to talk about. And, you know, talk about affairs of the heart, because this is what I'm learning, just like what Jim just said. It just tore the family apart. Not me not taking the jab, however, but it was, you know, very frustrating for my family in particular, because it was like, you know, why aren't you taking it? And I said, well, I just got out of the hospital. I just got rid of two stage four cancers. You know, I don't really want something made in a lab. And it was like, okay, that makes sense, you know. So I got away with that. But after that, it was like finding out about my research and about my, quote, conspiracy theories. And we know what that's all about. Just by the way, Jim said what he just said. Families are falling apart. And I want you and everybody listening to know that you have one source here that will never turn its back or his back on you, that will never lie, and that will never deceive, okay? So it's always a place where we can trust. You know, I trust Steve with my life. Steve has brought me some incredible stuff, that because he knows I'm serious. He knows my intent. He knows what I want to do. He's helping me get in touch with other people as well. It's, you know, you have to trust people to be able to do that, you know? And once you gain the people's trust, you have to really work hard to keep it, right? Well, no one's going to listen, says a wise man. They're not going to. You can talk. You know what you could do? You could actually take them in a time machine, bring them back to what you're talking about. In this case, it's for me, for World War II. You could show them in the time machine what it was like. You could prove to them what happened, take them back, and they still wouldn't believe you. No, they still find an excuse or reason, because it's cognitive dissonance. It's so well done. It's so well engineered. It's so well prepared. It's so well organized. It's sickening how the more you find out about it, the more you see how incredibly complex it was to get us dumbed down first, then fearful. You know, as they invent laws, look at what France did. I mean, I said that before, but I'm going to say it again. France comes out with a law now saying whoever, you know, disputes the narrative of COVID, 43,000 euro, I think it was, and or prison term. Exactly like the Holocaust narrative. Those countries involved directly in the Holocaust have laws about, oh, if you speak out about that lie, well, you're going to pay for it. Basically, that's what they're saying. Because if it was the truth, they could be shouting it from the rooftops, because that's what they would want to do if it was truth, right? So, you know, this is only for – I have so much respect for my listeners, i.e. you, that I want to make sure that I don't bombard people with all kinds of stuff. So, you know, it's something I wanted to bring to your attention, as they say. So we talked about the good nurses, and I told Melissa in the chat to remind me of the best definition of love that I ever found. Remember? Well, I'm going to dedicate this to the not really newlyweds anymore, but to Melissa and her better half. This is the best definition I've ever heard. I've never seen or read anything about love, per se, L-O-V-E, period, that really stuck with me. And I'll put it in the chat if you want, if it's not too long. I don't know if they have a limit of words in the chat. But this is what it says. You can connect. Oh, by the way, that's Jeff Brown on Facebook. Jeff Brown. He says, you can connect from all kinds of places. Energetic, harmony, sexual alchemy, intellectual alignment. Okay? But they won't sustain love over a lifetime. You need a thread that goes deeper, that moves below the beyond and beyond the shifting sands of compatibility. So well said. That thread is fascination, a genuine fascination with someone's inner world, the way they organize reality, the way they talk, the way they breathe. I'm just adding that in. The way they articulate their feelings with the unfathomable and bottomless depths of their being, to hear their soul cry out to you again and again, and to never lose interest in what they're trying to convey. If there is that, then there will still be love when the body sickens or when sexuality fades, when the perfection projection is long shattered. Amen to that one. Wow. If there is that, you will swim in love's waters until the very last breath. Yeah, that was you and your Rick. Yeah, hopefully that's Melissa and her better half. Yes. See, so one word, commitment. I'm not going to be a preacher here, okay? There's no soapbox here, but I'm thinking commitment because we talked about that when I put it in the chat earlier, because in the last show they were talking about love, and I, oh, whoa, everything, you know, put the brakes on, okay? That was awesome. So I don't know, can I put it in the chat? I wonder, is there enough room for that? Let me see if I can do that. Okay, so this is from Jeff Brown. I told you that three times already. Okay, I just wanted to make sure. I love giving giving credit where credit is due. Let me see if this works. And the computer is going to let me, I think. There you go. So where are we now? Okay, we have 5 minutes left before the break. Luca? Okay. Does anybody here remember the DAPL pipeline protest? The reason why I'm bringing that up is because I'm setting us up for what's around the corner after the break, after the half hour. And this is something I have to talk about because it's very important. So there's this whole thing with global warming, okay? And Deborah Tavares is somebody really good that you can listen to. Deborah Tavares and her, what is it? What Weapons for Secret Wars? Silent Weapons for Secret Wars. There you go. And they're making something called the lie of global warming, and they're blaming it on everything. They're creating it as they go, okay? And it's all about the octopus, okay? Think of Rothschild, the octopus who's, you know, getting the tentacles in everything. Their derailments, their explosions, their fires, their DEWs everywhere, okay? Their weather weaponization, their borders open, their attacks on people. So far, everything she said kind of resonated with me. I didn't listen to her very much, but anybody know about the gas that formed also in the trail, the train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio. Nice name, eh? Turned out the gas was something called napalm. Huh? The gas released? Oh, okay. That's, you know, don't believe me. Do your research, right? Bioweapons that they created criminally and deliberately call vaccines so that everybody can take them. The food that we eat, we know the drill. The pineal gland, okay? They want to dumb us down. They want us to be really stupid, okay? Now there's alcohol. We talked about alcohol last week. And I'm getting to DAPL. I'm getting to the Dakota Access Pipeline. I'm getting there. We talked about alcohol because alcohol is an incredible dumber down, okay? It's unbelievable what that does. What alcohol does, you vibe at such a low frequency. We were talking about frequencies before, and how it robs you of spirituality. It robs you of your soul. Wow. Yeah, and that's what made me think of talking about it, because Ted and Austin covered it, and I believe I heard that. And that's what made me think of it, because I remember I was writing notes when somebody talked about it. But you know what? This week, I'm going to add what I said once before on the show. I don't think I said it again, but one time I did say it. This is how good they are at divide and conquer, okay? In the tribes of the Southeast, rum, they know that Indians have a different genetic makeup and they can't handle alcohol as good as you know, the Europeans can. They just react differently to it because of their genetic makeup, believe it or not, their body, their physical makeup. When rum came down to the tribes of the Southeast, women would take everything that men would take to injure themselves, take the women, the children, the sick, the old, the elderly, and go into the woods for 2 or 3 days and stay there and hide, while the men tore themselves apart, ran around, you know, the village naked, okay, screaming and yelling with you know, with weapons and ready to kill everyone, killing each other, literally. And there's the Europeans, the colonizers, sitting back laughing at it. You know, that's what they want. There you go. Okay, it was devastating. And this is all governments that are responsible for that. Think of how we would be flourishing if there weren't governments, if there weren't laws. You know, if mankind could maintain their own laws themselves, out of humanity, out of morality. Hello? Okay, are we the only people left to think this way? It's incredible. They're so, the average person is so dumbed down, either by alcohol or drugs or both, or big pharma, or all three. Wow. Okay? I saw an entirely new level of abuse and power and corruption at the DAPL. The Dakota Access Pipeline, and it's already 30 minutes past the hour. Do you believe this? It's already time for a break. We'll talk about that when you come back. That was in April 2016, and we're going to do a deep dive in corruption, and we're going to talk to Rolling Bear as well when we come back. And I'm so glad to be back on again. I'm going to go take a breather. We'll be right back after this.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Yes, please do. Please join us over there, because I'm going to be talking about stuff like very quickly that we won't be able to put on Facebook, or you wouldn't be able to put on Twitter or X or any other places. Okay. It's true, and it's going to be that way. Oh, speaking of X, does anybody find it crazy weird that people now write on a site called X while facing a disease called X, and SpaceX connects us all? I thought that was good. Wow. Cute. So anyway, back to the oil, okay? I want to talk about the pipeline. I really want to talk about the pipeline. This is important because we're going to go into Rolling Bear. We're going to segue to Rolling Bear, my best friend, my brother from another mother, okay, the one I would give my life for. Once you get into the rabbit hole of the Trans-Canada Pipeline, please research it if you can. Okay. The lie of the climate change is there's a perfect segue with all that. This, you know, oh, what's lying underneath all those pipelines? Oh, just the aquifer, one of the largest aquifers in the world of fresh water. That's all. Oh, okay. And you know what? 10 drops of that oil will destroy a 10,000-gallon water tank. And it's going over the Mississippi, and it's going over the rivers, and it's, you know, they know that this thing will fail, okay? So what I did a deep dive with Rolling Bear, and he's going to speak to us today. But I have something from Ivan Vokes, who worked for TransCanada Pipeline for 5 years in managerial positions, okay? You want to hear what he says? Quote, TransCanada Pipelines has a culture of noncompliance and deeply entrenched business practices that ignore the legally required regulation and codes. The mix of political and commercial interests allows industry, quote, to claim, unquote, that they exceed federal requirements when they're building substandard pipelines with no enforcement and no accountability in the process. You know what they do to a leaking pipe? They put gaffer tape on it. Duct tape. Go look at duct tape. Go look it up on Google. Okay? You know what the pipes are made of? And I'm not saying all of them. Rolling Bear says quite a bit of them. Let's just say most of them. Okay? Depleted uranium. I beg your pardon? Depleted uranium. So what's going to happen? Oh, you get a spill. Oh, that seeps into the soil. Oh, depleted uranium leaks into the soil. So can you imagine? Sit back a minute, close your eyes, put a cigar in your mouth, and fake that you're one of those billionaires, okay? And this is what it would sound like. Can you imagine the gold mine? Not only the oil, when a spill occurs, because we know it will, but the cancers they can develop from a leaking in the soil. Wow, that's a bullseye. Ka-ching! That's what it sounds like. Okay? They don't care. I don't know how many times people have to be told that to get angry enough like they are in Europe. They're not covering all those protests in Europe for a very good reason. So before speaking to Rolling Bear about all that, and this dirtiest oil ever, okay, these pipelines are destined to fail. The insurance company pays for them, okay? They all make a profit. This is what I mean. They're lying about the global warming and the, quote, destruction of delivery systems. Delivery systems. Gives me the creeps when I hear that. The largest aquifer in the U.S., one of the largest in the world, dead center of the USA, Inc., okay? And the pipeline goes right over it. And even close to it would be enough. The Oglala Aquifer. And I told Rolling Bear, I said, you think the Mississippi River would have something to do with the aquifer because it's so big? I suggested. He looks at me and he smiles. He said, actually, you know what? He said, the Mississippi River is a fault line. Okay, so think compartmentalizing. Think Nestle. How long have they been illegally siphoning water from the Great Lakes, from the rivers, from the streams? And they're ready to sell it back to us for a price when it is set to fail, not if. Nestle just sitting there with all the others waiting in the wings to profit from another disaster while we're scurrying around trying to save our own life. Just like the two airline companies made millions, or people made millions on them, on 9/11 with the put options, making money when the stock goes down. Millions made money on people dying. This is what they're doing. They don't care. This is, you know, big pharma's making money while we're sick, while we're dying. So Rolling Bear's father says one day, yes, sir, one load of that nasty oil, just one load through the pipelines, and that's enough to pay for the whole party, pays for the pipeline, and we get extra millions too. Heck, I even own the companies that will come and clean up the pipeline spill when there is one. I'm the guy that, you know, I'm one of the main contributors to dirty oil like DAPL, like the Dakota Access Pipeline. We cut corners everywhere. This is him saying it after I just told you what Ivan Vokes said. Okay. We save a lot of coin that way. You know, I also have a stock in Nestle, you know, when disaster strikes. Laugh, laugh, laugh. I'm also a major shareholder of Pfizer as well. And I have two children. One of them seems to be doing the right thing and investing in oil and encouraging me and helping me in this endeavor. But then there's the other son that no one wants anything to do with. Huh. Caveat, me and my father and my family, okay? This is Rolling Bear's father saying this. He doesn't want to make money. Listen carefully, okay? He doesn't want to make money. He wants to share all that he has. What an idiot. Ruining everything that I'm doing to keep this family line going. He would give it all away if he could. What an ass. And there's Rolling Bear at the Dakota Access Pipeline protest site. When I arrived, because I was joining the protest site, that's one of the first times I saw Rolling Bear. And I saw him with his wife and his friends there. I had met him earlier that year, but, you know, with all the ins and outs and everything, I didn't remember exactly where I met him, but that was one of the first meetings. See, so just like I am one of those that are tossed out of my family because I'm questioning and I'm researching the narrative of WW2 and my people's Germany, here's Rolling Bear. Actively, and I have his permission to say this, actively participating in the undoing of his father's predatory business. And I use that word meaning potentially causing everybody else harm in any way, shape, or form. His father owns the companies who own the gear that they use to lay the pipeline and go underneath the Mississippi. These goons know the pipelines will fail, okay? They're trying to get rid of us, if anybody hasn't noticed. They're trying to depopulate, if anybody hadn't noticed. Pipelines are being built with depleted uranium? It's like, you know, and all of this, and this is for me to the family, if you're listening, this is contributing to making us all dependent on the system. And they're doing everything they can, spraying rat poison from the planes overhead at the DAPL protest. I have a picture of the plane going over there, shooting rat poison out of the plane to sicken the people at the protest. That's what they tried. They tried everything. They were shooting rubber bullets at them. Yeah, aim for the genitals and for the lower, you know, the groin, you know. Okay. See. And just before I talk about Rolling Bear, I want you to know that the Native Americans, when they protest, they're not called protesters. They're called protectors. They're protecting the water. You know for who? For us. For everybody else but them. You know why? Look at the map. Look at where South and North Dakota are. Look where the protests were. Okay? It's all going to go down to the sea. If there's anything, 10 drops of that dirty oil will ruin the river. It's absolutely incredible how it thins out. I don't know if anybody remembers the Exxon Valdez disaster in 1989. Same thing. The Puget Sound in Alaska has not come back yet since then. Anybody who says it has is lying. Okay. That's how bad it is. They don't care. We're not there to swim in the oil and to drink it and to eat it, okay? So it's getting really big, and Rolling Bear is really getting tight with me, and we're talking about corruption, and we're trying to fight corruption. And at the DAPL protest, they also had active denial systems, the ADS, non-lethal directed energy weapon developed by the USA military, designed for area, listen to this, area denial, perimeter security, and crowd control, along with the LRAD, a long-range acoustic device that heats the person up and causes permanent damage in hearing. You know, ask them if they care. This is what they did at Dapple. Okay, so I'm done with that. Now that you know what Rolling Bear's father is doing, now that you know what I'm doing with him, and you have a completely different outlook on Rolling Bear that you had before, I'm pretty sure, because now you know what kind of a man he is and the morals he has. It's really amazing. And that's the segue that I wanted to do to prepare you for this clip. It's a bit long, but you'll see why. I'll see you on the other side. Rolling Bear's with us, and he has a story to tell. I was talking about ETs, and I'm going to call this segment RB and ETs. Because Rolling... This is because we're jumping from Dapple and the damage that they're doing to ETs, okay? And this is the first time that I talk about it on the air, because it's coming from him. And him and his in the military, don't forget, he's non-commissioned lieutenant general, okay? And I had to jump to this like that because I won't have time to do the other segment that I had to do to prepare us for this clip. But this will give you a really good idea of the type of person he is and what he saw himself. This is firsthand, okay? Because Rolling Bear is with us, and he has something he wanted to share on ETs. And this is one of the first times I'll be talking about it live. We started talking about you in the military.
Yep.
Okay? And you blew my mind. So just tell the story from the beginning, what you saw.
Well, I was, at the time, non-commissioned officer in the United States Marine Corps. And then later on, a contractor. And the Marine Corps travels by ship. We're actually considered part of the Navy. And, you know, our ships are constantly, and they were aware of it, constantly dogged by unidentified flying objects. But anytime they've tried to send up a fighter jet to catch up with these objects, and with the hopes of shooting one down, which, why that's their first indication, I don't know. And the first thing they want to do is knock it out of the sky. And it's like, you know, they have better technology than we do, and you're going to pick a fight? Like, European mindset all over that.
And that's another show that we can get into right there.
I'm thinking, why don't we try to make friends or see who they are? But anyway, in any case, I can tell you that for absolute certainty that they are there. There are usually 3 to 4 of these flying objects. Some are the shape of saucers. Some are cubes. Some are other shapes. But they follow any of our ships that have nuclear capabilities. They dog them all the time. We know that they fly over our nuclear facilities constantly. And after having done a lot of research and looked at a lot of this, I believe that World War II was the big deciding factor in we had a huge uptick in the number of unidentified flying objects after World War II, because after we dropped the bombs, the atomic bombs, which would have caused an electromagnetic pulse that went into space, it would have disrupted their technology. They knew exactly where we were, and they knew that we were using technology we shouldn't be using, you know, that was dangerous to them. And so they came, and they've come in mass ever since World War II. And I don't know whether they are from where they're from, whether they're from outside of our planet or inside our planet, you know, inner space, outer space, wherever they're from. All I know is that they're there. That they don't seem to have any malice. They don't seem to attack us at all. If we go after them, they fly much faster than our fighters. We can't target them because they don't have any heat signature. They don't give off any exhaust. They can go underwater and go, you know, much faster than any of our jets. And then they can come back out of the water. At times they go in the water and just disappear.
Okay, so you're on deck.
Yeah.
And you're watching your men deploy the nuclear stuff. What happens?
So they start getting ready to bring them up and bring them online and test them to see if they would work. And they just shut them down. Something, whether it's a beam or whatever, that's what they're there for. They will not let them fire them because the electromagnetic pulse would be, you know, very dangerous to them. Mm-hmm. It basically would rip a tear in the time-space continuum, and, you know, it could destroy all the universe. They know that. And you know, could destroy their ships, knock them out of, you know, knock them out so that their own people, you know, would die. They don't want that. And so, you know, they're doing the same thing to the Russians, to the Chinese, everybody that has nuclear technology or the technology to cause severe harm to their own people. You know, it's to their benefit to make sure that we don't have a nuclear war.
So they tried to bring everything online and it shuts off.
Yep.
What happened? They try again?
They try again. Shut down. And our nuclear bases, our nuclear silos, they do the same thing. You know, and they freak out. I mean, our government freaks out because there's nothing they can do. They shut them down, and then after enough attempts, they just if they just stop trying to bring them online, they just leave them alone. They're not out there trying to hurt anyone. But, you know, why would they have contact with humans when we're playing with these very dangerous weapons? You know, clearly we don't have the intelligence to understand that we should be working together as a planet to make things better rather than building things to destroy each other and destroy them.
It reminds me of the attitude that that they have towards the Goyim, okay, towards us. I think in this case, the ETs would be looking at our government in that way, right?
Like, oh, yeah.
Like at little children, you know, like don't go deploying because we, you know, we can knock you out. You know what yeah. I mean? So they're treating our governments the same way, which is kind of nice because that's what we need. We're helpless.
Yeah.
As population, we can't do anything. Everything's behind our back. They're lying about everything. They're not asking us what we think, right?
Yeah.
So it was important because I was going to talk about this myself on the air, but it's so much more fun to have you here and to talk about it because that's the firsthand information.
Okay, let's imagine a force out there that's seeing us act like children, trying to blow each other up, and they're going, no, we will not allow that. Okay, what if... It's the same thing. You know, what if Hitler wasn't that monster maniac that killed 6 million people when actually there were more Jews after World War II in Europe than before? Okay. This is what I mean. So when you hang on to every single lie and you can compartmentalize properly, it makes perfect sense that they would make movies like the battle, like the War of the Worlds, you know, and make it like, you know, these infinite complacency. They're looking at us and they want to destroy our world, you know. Sure. Project Bluebeam would not work. Think about it. If the governments tried to do anything to make us believe, you know, in a bad way, it wouldn't work. If the ETs can block the use of the nuclear weapons, because it's like, no, you will not blow yourself up or anybody else or us with it. No, you have no right to do. Okay. Because we have no control over that. We can't do it ourselves. We're completely powerless. There's a handful of what? Psychopathic, narcissistic psychopaths, whatever you want to call them, that are bent on killing all of us. Yuval Harari says we don't need God. Okay? Another 4 minutes with Rolling Bear, and he's going to talk about an asteroid that's coming back. If you believe that, you'll believe this.
There's so much evidence out there that what they're doing is protecting themselves, but because they're protecting themselves, they're protecting humanity from, you know, annihilating ourselves.
I like to think that that's what it is. I like to think that they're giving us help because they care about us like our governments don't.
Yep.
Yeah.
We have stories of the Great Flood and how different people survived. So, I mean, we know that it happened and it will happen again. And that, you know, it's nearing time for that to happen because of the shift of the magnetic poles are shifting. And when they come close to each other, there'll be a magnetic push that will flip the Earth and cause a Great Flood. We know that will happen, and it will happen in the next 50 years at least. We know that scientifically. We also know that we have a asteroid. What was the name of it?
OUMA
asteroid came into our knowledge coming for it's the first object that we knew came from another star system, and
it was named in Hawaii by the Hawaiians. OUMOU, it's a really bizarre name. I couldn't even pronounce it myself, but you can find it by googling the meteor or whatever it is, the asteroid.
And this object came through in, I think, 2019 and acted very differently than any object we'd ever seen. It was long. It was slender. It was flying at a high rate of speed. It circled the Earth twice. And when it eventually got here, and it headed for our sun, it came close to our sun, circled the sun, and left at a right angle at an extremely high rate of speed that they couldn't explain. Of course, this year I see that there's two scientists that came up with how it was able to accelerate was ice on there that was melting and causing it to propel itself. They're always going to come up with lies to cover up anything that's true. You know, they don't want us to have hope. They want to keep us down. Because if we are always depressed and worried and feuding, you know, there's no way that we can grow as people. You know, there's no way we can make our society safer and more loving and working together. So that's what they want. You know, I mean, these entities are our best hope, I think.
So now there's the same light coming back.
The same asteroid is there's some scientists that say they're seeing the same asteroid, what appears to be the same asteroid, coming back with a bunch of friends. You know, maybe 30 or 40 similar objects coming back. And it was a little less than a football field long. It was narrow, long. It wasn't the normal shape of an asteroid, which is circular. This is a completely never seen before shape for a space object. So we can guess that it's probably not an asteroid. Yeah, that would be my guess. And there's a lot of scientists that say that it's probably not an asteroid. It's probably something else.
And because of your high placement in the military, you saw things that other people don't see.
Yes.
See, that's what we're going to go through next week. I didn't want to make it too long. But it was thanks to his time in the military and his placement high up like that. Like you're talking non-commissioned lieutenant general. Okay, at that level, you can see so much more flat Earth and all this other stuff. You know what I mean? Like, you can see stuff that they're not telling anybody. So that's proof enough for me that they knew about COVID. They knew about, you know, it. The signatures that they're leaving about everything behind them. I'm cleaning up the mess behind them. Cleaning up that one. So it's really beautiful to be able to think that, you know, yes, God would make it so that we'd have help from other stars, perhaps, if people are open-minded enough. We can't do anything by ourselves. There's nothing that I can. I'm thinking here, going, what could Tom, Dick, and Harry do at our level besides hacking into their meeting and telling them to F off, right? There's not much we can do. And, you know, that's the help that we could have. I find that that's so cool. And if you have an open mind, it really works. So I'm going to get my music back again and get ready for the sign off. And I just wanted to throw that out. I couldn't do the whole intro to Rolling Bear's talk about ETs because it would have been too late. See, I'm barely making it right now. But sorry about the jump of, from ruining the Earth with pipelines to ETs all of a sudden. I managed to do it, but we'll talk more next week if you'd like. And if you don't, I'll never bring it up again. It's as simple as that. I just want to be entertaining. I want people to enjoy what I have to offer. You know, I'm not afraid of offending. It's just that I want to make a little knit family where most people out of all of you are happy with what you hear. Steve, thank you so much. And sorry for ranting again. Are you still with me?
Yeah, I'm here.
He's there. Okay. I was ready to hear something like, you know, but anyway, we're doing good. And thanks everybody for telling us it was a great show. I appreciate it. And see you till next week in the 30 seconds I have left. Look at that. Wow. Thank you so much, everybody. It's always a pleasure to be on, and I hope you loved it as much as I did. I will be back next week, and please be safe. And think of yourself, okay? Don't think of the other person. Think of yourself until next week, and we'll have a quiz on that next time.